help with his prayer partners.
Romans 12. Where did we stop? Did we stop at...
We stopped saying somebody was not saying something. In
verse 8. The tip of verse 8.
I know, but which part of verse 8?
The tip of it, which would be the top of it.
Sort of. We studied exhorting.
Oh, giveth.
We studied extortion.
And giveth.
And we studied giveth. Did we study him that ruleth?
Yeah, we tried to, and then you freaked out.
All right. The most interesting part of verse 8 to me is the word exhort. And it means to cause to pass from one state to another. The analogy that I used to use all the time is you can't go swimming until you get in the pool. And you can't live the Christian life in time and space. You can only live it in eternity. So you cannot... The purpose of exhortation is to cause someone to pass from the prison and the boundaries of time and space to move into eternal life, which is the gift of God. But our mind has to be renewed in order that we can see that and understand it. And the only way it's renewed is when we find out that everything in time and space is corruptible. When that happens, then we can joyfully jump into eternity or into the swimming pool. And we can stop, thinking about or, studying about or all that other crap and just be about. But you can't be about until you get... Remember, in the Greek language, location of sphere is the key to the understanding. The entire life of a believer, of a Christian, is in eternity. And this is huge. There's no... Because if you see, normally, we see it around here all the time, somebody's exhorting somebody and they're trying to correct them to be a better person or to... Where are the Rutledges?
So we sent him out to see Miss Polly and John.
Oh, I know what John's doing, yeah. Does everybody see the total implications of this? It's not about morals. It's not about behavior. It's not at the bottom line, even about ethics. It's about being in a totally different state. And the purpose of exhorting, and each one of us, we are to exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Let's look at that. Go to Hebrews 3. Let's just read Hebrews 3. That'd be a good idea. Because exhorting is critical in everything, because we always exhort. People normally exhort about the wrong thing. So, the last verse of chapter 2 is talking about Christ. Let's start in just verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted or tested, as he is able to help them that are tempted. Now the wherefore. Because of all that, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. And again, this word partakers means that you are part of it. You're not studying about it. You're not waiting for it to happen. You are partakers now. And you can't be a partaker of the heavenly calling unless you're in the place of the heavenlies. That's why we're seated on the mercy seat. What is going to take you off the mercy seat today? I just watched yesterday, and Kayla just jumped off the mercy seat every 5 minutes. Ronnie jumped off the mercy seat. Pete jumped off the mercy seat. Why? Now, we exhort one another daily, as we'll see in a minute, not to, don't act like that, or don't be like that, or blah, blah, blah. We exhort him to get back in the mercy seat, to leave time and space and get back in eternity. What? Something's going on over between these two.
Gary and her?
Either one of them.
Oh, okay.
In my dizziness, the laser isn't quite
excellent.
Pointed.
What's going on with that?
What?
Did Ollie jump off the mercy seat?
No.
No, I'm thinking of what you just said, and it's true. And even as I was watching it, and every 5 minutes when that would happen, that would come into my brain going, why are you reacting? Why do you react? Why are you reacting?
Somebody piped and you danced.
Right. Immediately. Yeah.
All right. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Now that would just make the Jews of the time go crazy, because Moses was the ultimate. Inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more. Hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken of, to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into the rest. Something in the order of 6 million people, including all of the mixed multitude and the... Anyway, several million. It was 600,000 men between 20 and 50. And so all of the kids and all of the women and all of the mixed multitude that were following them. Of that 600 of millions, only two entered the promise. Only who?
Joshua and Caleb.
Joshua and Caleb. Joshua was the type of Christ. And Caleb, who was Caleb, the Kenanite? He was a friend of the bridegroom. Now, we know that Moses eventually entered the promise because the promise was eternity. And we know that Elijah entered the promise because on the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ spoke to Elijah and Moses. We know the thief entered the promise, which is one of the most argued scriptures in the universe, because he said to the thief, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And yet it was three days before Jesus, 3 days plus 43 days before Jesus entered. So it just gives us an idea of what the word "today" here means. "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts," as in the provocation. Okay. In verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." And that evil heart is, it's a word that we're going to study in a minute, and it means evil beyond redemption. And the evilness is because you don't believe. It's not because the state of what you think your heart is. The evilness is that you've left yourself in time and space. Even though you knew it was all garbage. You're one of those in Revelation 6 who said, who prayed for they knew it was the wrath of the Lamb, and yet they hid themselves in caves and under rocks in order to hide themselves from the wrath of the Lamb rather than repent. So if it was today, here, you know, 1,500 years before Christ, it more than likely is today. Today.
Like today almost means now.
Now is the accepted time. Only the only. It's never the past. It's never the future. Now, and the now only exists in eternity. I was watching Tiger Woods this last weekend. And what he does, he's able to enter the now for a brief times by discipline. That has nothing to do with spirit. It's just the hint. It's just like every time you have an orgasm, you enter the now for a moment. Well, that's just the picture of we are to live in the now, not in the last second or next second or. And that's, if you live out of the now, then you'll get bored and then blah, blah, you know.
I was thinking of the process where the thief saw Christ for who he was, and that probably allowed
that's all.
Repentance, and that was now. And that's why I said today, now you're with me.
Right. Now, that's why the word obedience, remember in the Old Testament, the word obedience, they always say observe to do, observe to do. To hear this mystery, no matter what condition, no matter what takes place, that to never use any kind of an activity around you, no matter what it is, to excuse you leaving that now. Kayala. You can't get back on there on the mercy seat by studying. You can't get back on there by praying. You can't get back in there by having conversations with God, no matter how idiotic you are. You only get back on there by abject and total repentance, leaving all of you behind. You certainly can't get back on there by being mad at someone, by being upset at someone, by regretting something. And the facts, the so-called facts, don't make any difference. What, Ronnie? You're doing something.
No, I'm listening to you.
You understanding?
Yeah.
I figured. You got that look of wonderment. All right, where are we? Verse 12. "Take heed, brethren, that lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And you depart from the living God when one of these little shiny things or one of those little nasty things draw you off the mercy seat. What?
Spilled some oatmeal on the
bottom. Nasty stuff. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. That's a biggie.
Yeah.
Especially when the meaning of exhort is to cause, to pass from one state of being to another. Don't pay any attention to the words about what they're saying. Oh, this is going on, or that's going on. Oh, poor you. Oh, that black neat blank attorney. Oh. This reminds me of New Jersey. Judy, your cooking reminds me of that good restaurant in Paris. He's here. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin is the deceitfulness of self-awareness.
That's what tries to keep you from repenting or thinking you're not worthy.
And excusing what your mind is doing, having sweet thoughts.
Yeah, you stick with that, those sweet thoughts. They're really good for you.
Make my day.
Now he's pissed.
Yeah.
For we are made partakers. Again, partakers. Of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And all he did was complain about something.
Reduced to carcasses.
And to whom swear he that they should not enter into the rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And everything that happened to them, if you believe Paul in 1 Corinthians, happened so you can see and repent quicker. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of entering into the rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into the rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. There is no excuse. That's the whole purpose. You are without excuse.
It's so amazing how it just all gets down to that fine point of belief. Denying everything else around you except him.
Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ.
It's almost as if in chapter 3, once you read it all, and then you read the beginning of chapter 4, and you get to that verse 3, if you don't, I mean, if someone can't hear what it says in chapter 3, they just pretty much say, it's finished already, it's done.
Yeah.
if anything.
From before the foundation of the world, it was done. The only reason time has continued is because of our rebellion. I had a long talk with J.W. And I'd never talked to him about the idea that at the death of Jesus on the cross, that was the beginning of the night of the last day. And we've been in the night of the last day for 2,000 years because of our rebellion. He just about flipped. Because he knew it instantly. And he's really religious. He just burns my bacon. You know, Rabbi. He uses praise the Lord as a cliche, and I mean as a punctuation mark. But I love him more than I love my own being, more than I love anything except God. And we can be gone, we can be separated for years. And when I talk to him, it's like we've been together all the time. And that's what I want. And that's all of us. We can be that. Remember, he that is born of the Spirit automatically loves them that are also born of the Spirit. You don't have to try to love somebody. That's just goofy. And there's a sense that comes that is palpable, that you know, that you know, that you know. And everything else just fades away. Be sure to tell Joyce Senna that I've got some more rollover minutes today.
Racking them up yesterday.
Mr. Bojo? What? Any response to all this? Besides tickling your chin? Pete? Well, see, all this stuff that's going on right now, just think of it as meaningful as anything else.
Yeah, it's nothing. Two things struck me. One was just the only way back is mercy. It is repentance.
Amen.
Going back to the mercy seat, and the other was talking about JW, and like it's like that with believers. It's like you've never been. You're always together.
Pete was in love with JW's daughter. That's why he has fond memories of JW.
Nice
footnote. No, I don't really have that fond memories of JW. His daughter, maybe.
He had a good looking daughter.
Did she ever come here with him?
Mm-hmm.
When I was here?
No.
I know I seen him once.
Yeah. Oh, you mean JW?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been here.
He's been here a bunch of times. He's coming again probably next month. He's the first guy that I met after I became a believer. And we were apart for years and then got back together again. And it was just, you know, he says exactly the same thing, except he says it. He's a lot smarter than I am, but a lot better preacher, but. He just uses a lot of more religious terms and doesn't cuss.
He's a cowboy preacher.
Yeah,
his dad was one of the... He was a Texas Ranger, and JW is a cowboy kind of guy. Any response, Mr. Kevin?
Just that... The subtlety of the thought that goes through your mind when you say, do I need to repent? You've asked the question.
It's too late.
The question, I know, you're there.
You've wasted time.
That's what we want. There, surely there's one position where I'm not having to repent.
Game over.
I'm not all bad.
Surely this righteous man.
Wait.
That was just a piece of meat.
Yeah,
It's so simple, people. It's not complicated. And you already know it. You know that all the human effort is just ridiculous. You know the, you know, all the little deals we go through are meaningless.
I think one thing that hit me when you were talking about being attracted to those who are born of the Spirit, and in the religious world, that you judge who is and isn't by whether they say Jesus is Lord or some baloney. But I was thinking of the people that I'm attracted to in the Spirit that are just brothers.
Well, they may not even think they're believers.
They don't even know, yeah. And yet the Spirit is so kindred that it's beautiful.
It has nothing to do with outward labels or names. It's just, boom.
Yeah, it's real stuff. But the religious mind wants to say, well, you know, cuts you all off on a trip. But I was glad to hear that.
There's people that we have a lot of dealings with that, you know, they may say they're atheists or agnostics, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat that we can not have to, if you don't, go into hell.
Yeah, this is really for me a fulfillment of what we're all about, because I never wanted to be part of that crowd. It's only if you say Jesus the right way, then you're all right.
It's really, and it doesn't matter whether they're Muslims or all that other crap. I mean, it matters. It's God that's going to bring them.
That's what happened when my parents came. That's what happened when my parents came. It was amazing. It was amazing to see.
It's the circumcision of the heart.
It was beautiful.
Thank you, Father. Take a big guy. Yeah, but all of the gabbing didn't. I still got about 10.